The topic of today is Chodesh Shvat. Shvat, the most important month of the year. Someone came up to me and said, "That's not true. I was born in Nisan, therefore Nisan is the most important month of the year." At first glance, you may think that Shvat is a little bit of a thin month. It doesn't really have so much going on in Shvat. What it does have is, what does it have? Tu B'Shvat Yegia, yes. Maybe like Tu B'Shvat has no tachanun, if it's on Shabbos, no avarachamim. But it's not a real holiday. What's so important about Shvat? It's a cute thing, you know. In the Ganim, they have all these songs that they sing. The kids come home, they have little trees. You know, in America, you still get buxer, you know, charuvim. So, I mean, that's the only time a year that anybody eats that stuff. And even when you get it, you can't eat it. So I don't know what the holiday is about that. But in Israel or in America, what do people do? What's traditional? The mitzvah of the day to do? Plant a tree. It's the wrong season to plant trees. You don't plant trees on Tu B'Shvat. It's the worst time of year to plant trees. In the middle of the winter, you don't plant a tree. You plant it before the winter starts, or in the beginning of the spring, after the winter's over. You never plant the tree in the middle of the winter, but it's a nice thing to do. It's a nice Zionistic holiday, right? Tu B'Shvat is a great opportunity to talk about Eretz Yisrael, about the beauty of the land. You sing the song of the Shiva Minim, Eretz Chita Usaora V'Gefen U'Tena, and the more liberal your school is, the more you'll focus on Tu B'Shvat. It seems like not such a frum holiday, you know. Like the nationalists, they treat it so much respect, and the people in the yeshivish, they can go by without even knowing that it even exists. So what's so important? Why is it such a big month, such an important month, as the title seems to imply? Let's take a view all the months. So next month is what month? By the way, how many people here, show of hands, know all 12 months in order? Okay, so good. It's a good thing to know. That's very good. Generally, we have less of a response. So Adar is great. Why is Adar great?
Purim,
but it's not just Purim. Purim is all about Kimu v'Kiblu. It was a receiving of the Torah once again, and that's the beginning of the Geula process. What's the next month?
Nisan.
What's Nisan so great?
Pesach.
We that this week's parsha. Bo Hachodesh Zelchem, the first month. It's the beginning of the real, true beginning of the physical Geula that leads up to the spiritual Geula. Nisan is incredible, right? What comes after Nisan?
Year.
What's the year? Lag Bomer. Okay, Lag Bomer is true. The secrets of Torah. What else? Yom Atzmaut, Pesach Sheni, Yom Yerushalayim. It's filled. It's packed. We hardly ever learn in ER. We're always doing some tiul or something in ER. It must be a very holy holiday for a holy month because we're doing so much. It is actually the bridge in between Pesach and Sivan when we receive the Torah, the physical Geula, the spiritual Geula. It's the preparation for Har Sinai, for Matan Torah. That's great. Sivan, of course.
Shavuot,
which is known for? Matan Torah, beautiful. What could be better than that? What's after Sivan? Tammuz. What's so great about Tammuz? It's actually a little tragic. Tammuz is Shavuot, Sabbath, Tammuz, all these calamities that happened to befell the Jewish people. What's after Tammuz?
Av.
Av, happy, bad, good, bad? Certainly the first 9 days are not so great. Afterwards, it's already better times to be.
Av,
great day to get married. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the shiur, but that's Lead to Av for a second. So Av starts off not so, but one day, and the Mashiach's going to be born on Tisha B'Av, and the days of Tisha B'Av will turn into happy days one day, Shavuot and Tammuz as well. Okay, what's after Av?
Elul.
Anybody? Anything good about Elul? So that's when Moshe Rabbeinu went up for the third time to Har Sinai, went on Rosh Chodesh Elul, right, you know what I'm talking about? That he went up to receive the Torah, came down, Shavuot and Tammuz, broke the Luchot, went up for 40 days, came down a second time, and that was right before Rosh Chodesh Elul. He went up the third time, Rosh Chodesh Elul, and he comes down when?
Yom Kippur.
Okay, so Chodesh Elul is all about Tshuva, it's about coming close to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's preparation really for Rosh Hashanah, which is when? Tishrei. So Tishrei has not just Rosh Hashanah, but all else. Chodesh Eitanim has all the great things. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, it's a very powerful time. This is a very strong month. Tishrei is very, very solid. What's after Tishrei? Cheshvan. Mr. Cheshvan. So, what? Mar Cheshvan. That's it. Mr. Cheshvan. Okay, so Mar Cheshvan. So Mar Cheshvan comes next, right? And so it doesn't really have any holidays, but you know, you're riding the wave. You have so much that you just came from. It's the eighth month. Eighth is Me'alot Tevel. You don't need anything special. A shir within itself. Why Cheshvan, Mar Cheshvan is so important, okay? So that's Cheshvan, but okay, next, what's after Cheshvan?
Kislev.
Hanukkah. What's better than Hanukkah? Restoration of the Jewish autonomy in Eretz Israel. It's a great holiday. It's the longest of all the holidays. You get 8 days. One more than any other holiday. Beautiful. What's next?
Tevet.
What's Tevet at?
Aseret.
It's got a little Hanukkah. I'm like, that's about it. Aseret Tevet, which we saw was one of the four rabbinic fast days. So Aseret Tevet, it's got a little Hanukkah though. Okay. What's after Tevet?
Shvat.
That's where we are right now. Shvat. So Shvat, when you compare it to all the other holidays, so it seems Shvat would take the back seat. If you would have like your top five, like your starting 5 months, do you think would Shvat make it after the thing? Shvat would be a bench warmer. Maybe Shvat would be like the assistant coach. Why? Because what's the symbol of the zodiac of Shvat? What is it? In English, I think they call it what the month because Aquarius. So what's the Hebrew? Dili. What's a Dili? What? A Dili. A bucket. What do you put in a bucket?
Water.
So he's a bench warmer. He's the assistant coach. He's you know what's Shvat? You know just water. What?
Water boy.
Water boy. The water boy. Very good. Not even assistant coach. Right. So it does not seem so significant, but we will see in a few moments how significant Shvat really is and what the deeper meaning of Shvat is and why perhaps it is even for us, everyone sitting in this room, the most important month of the year. How so? We have two main sources really for Shvat. Two main, one is in Torah Shabbat Peh and one is in Torah Shabbat Tah. Torah Shabbat Peh, you all know, where would you want to find the significance of Shvat, specifically Tu B'Shvat or Rosh Chodesh Shvat, where would you find it? In Rosh Hashanah. Very good. Thank you very much, David. Mesechet Rosh Hashanah, the very first Mishnah, says as follows. Arba Rosh Hashanimim. There are four Rosh Hashanahs, four first days of the year. Bechad B'Nisan, so that's Rosh Hashanah L'Melachim L'Regalim. So that is a Rosh Hashanah for kings. If a king started his reign in Adar, when Nisan came about, the 10th of Nisan comes, he's already in his second year of reign, right? Because the new year would start then, okay? And also for Regalim, which has Nafkaminas for Karbanos and Nedavos and stuff like that. Ve'chad be'elul Rosh Hashanah l'maser behema. How many, when do I have to take off 1/10 of my behemoth? Maser behema. So how many behemoth do I have at that time by Rosh Chodesh? By Rosh Chodesh Elul, that will be the determine the Rosh Hashanah for Maser behema. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chad Tishrei, Bechad v'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah le Shanim v'Lashmitin v'Layovlot l'Natziyah l'Yarkov. So that's a big one. That's our favorite Rosh Hashanah that we know so much, right? It's Rosh Hashanah. That's the one we call Rosh Hashanah. It's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Bechad v'Shvat Rosh Hashanah le'Ilan. Kedivrei Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel Amrim, B'chamisha Asar Bo. So, that's a machlokas, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, who do you paskin like? Beit Hillel. So it's not the first of Shvat that we say is Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot, but really the 15th of Shvat. And what does it mean? Who could tell me, what does it mean that it's the Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot? What does that mean? What's it called? What significance does it have?
The buds are right.
That's what happens at that time, but what is it? What do I care? In terms of when I take off Masro, is it Maser Sheni or is it Maser Ani? Depending on the years, right? There are 6 years when you give those Masro. The first, second, fourth, and fifth are Maser Sheni, and the third and sixth are Maser Ani. So it depends on when the fruit came about. Did it come about before or after that time? That would determine whether it is part of this year or that year. Okay, so that's that. Okay, so that is the Mishnah. We all know the Mishnah. What's interesting to note is that all the Rosh Hashanahs, can you physically tell when there's a Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah l'malachim. Can you physically tell when it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Chodesh Elul? Can you see it? Can you see it? No. What's the only one that theoretically really could physically tell? That's Rosh Chodesh Shvat, right? Or Tu B'Shvat. Why? Because something happens. What happens? What happens in Shvat? What happens physically? What's really going on? Why do we pick this date? Seems to be a random date. What? The budding of the new tree. So let's look in the Gemara. Gemara says as follows. Gemara Rosh Hashanah Yudalid Amud Aleph toward at the bottom says Ba'achad b'shvat Rosh Hashanah le'ilan. My time. And what's the reason? I'm Rabbi Lazar. I'm Rabbi Oshaya. Ho'il v'yatsu rov yishmei Hashanah. Since most of the rains, and that's why we're still davening for rain, because really we should have had most of the rains and it's not sufficient. Most of the rains should have fallen already by that time. And every year, the rains fall by then. Okay. And therefore what? Therefore what? So the Meiri explains that when does the 15th of Shvat fall out? Right in the middle of the winter season. It's the middle of the beginning of the winter and the first of Nisan, which is already the end of the winter, the beginning of the spring. So the Meiri explains that at that point, at that time, the power of the cold has been weakened. It's already not as cold, and therefore, the fruits start coming out. The fruits start to the hibernation of the tree throughout the winter ceases, and it starts coming alive. So really, Tu B'Shvat is about coming alive. It's really about that, and that really, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu create a tree? For what purpose? A fruit tree, I should say. For what purpose? To bear fruit, to give you fruit. For half a year, it's not doing anything. It doesn't do anything. It's dead. You look at some trees, if you ever see like a fig tree, you ever see a fig tree in the winter? It looks dead. There are no leaves, nothing. It literally looks dead. And all of a sudden, starting Tu B'Shvat, the trees start to awaken. They start to bear fruit. So, on a hashkafic level, until now, what was the tree doing all along the whole winter? It was repairing. It was receiving. It was receiving. It wasn't always. It was getting more and more rain, more and more nourishment, and then comes to the Shvat and it starts to give. So it's going through a transformation of something that receives to something that gives. So that's the first thing. Hold on to that idea. What we're going to come back to, this idea of Tu B'Shvat being the time where you start realizing your potential. And that Shvat, the whole month of Shvat, is really a time of potential. The Shvat is mentioned in the Torah, not by name, but by number of months, because we know the names are not Jewish names in the months. Where is it mentioned? Who knows? Can anyone guess? Can anyone tell me? Can anyone know? Nobody? The 11th month. It is in Sefer Dvarim, Parsha Dvarim. You don't know? Anyone have a Bar Mitzvah Parsha Dvarim? No. Okay, that's right. Yeah? So do you know where it's mentioned? The third Pasuk. So the third Pasuk reads as follows. Well, the first Pasuk is, Eilo Dvarim Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael Be'er Yerdein Bamidbar Barava Mol Suf. Right, you know this? Ben Paran Ben Tofel V'Levan Chasirot V'Dizahar. Right, the introduction, Sefer Dvarim. Moshe is about to give the longest speech known to mankind, and he is going to start. What is the date he begins his speech? The first day of the 11th month, the 11th month being the month of Shvat. Diber Moshe b'nei Yisrael k'chol asher tziva Hashem otor aleihem. This is what Moshe starts his famous speech. The beginning of Shvat. So that is very interesting. If we saw the Mishnah, In Rosh Hashanah, we noticed that there were 4 months. Now, 2 of those months seem to be at opposite sides of the year. Which are those 2 months? 2 of those months, and there's a machlokes when certain incredible important events for the Jewish people and for the world happen. Machlokes about these 2 months. Which 2 months? Nisan and Tishrei. So there's machlokes, Rav Yeshua, when was the world created? Machlokes, when the Geula, final Geula is going to happen? These are the 2 months, you know? And they're up there, they're parallels between them. So if they have parallels, it's very important. So what is the parallel of Shvat? What would be the parallel of Shvat? You could guess, even if you didn't know how to count to 6, but not a count to 6. Tishrei and Nisan are 6 months apart. What is 6 months from Shvat? So the parallel of Tu B'Shvat is?
Tu
B'Av. Let's see the guess on that. Okay, so Tu B'Av. Where is Tu B'Av mentioned in the Gemara? Tanit. Where in Tanit? In, very good, very close. Lamed Amid Bet at the very bottom. And Lamed Aleph. It's the end of the Masechet. It's the end of the Masechet. So, whereas we had, in the beginning of the Masechet Rosh Hashanah, we had Tu B'Shvat, in the end of Tanis, we have Tu B'Av. The Mishnah there, the last Mishnah, says, that the two happiest days of the year are Yom Kippur, because of Slichah Mechila, because you get forgiven for your sins, and Tu B'Av. Why Tu B'Av? So there are a lot of things that happen on that day, and the Gemara goes through all the different things that happen. I'm going to take out 2 of those things and bring them to Shvat. Okay? 2 of those things. One is the name of Rav Yochanan, Yom Shekalu Bo Metei Midbar. It's the day that people stop dying in the Midbar. How many males over the age of 20 died in the Midbar? All of them, that's correct. All of them, except for Caleb and Yeshua. Right? They're the only ones who didn't die. But everybody else died in the Midbar. So the day, what happened was literally, every single, you know, month, they would be dying until finally, 1 month, they didn't die. And that was the month of Av and Tu B'Av. They didn't die, and that was a great celebration for Klal Yisrael. But what else happens there? The Gemara is fascinating. The Gemara says, Damar mar ad shelo kalu metei midbar lo haya dibur in Moshe. The Shekhinah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, didn't speak to Moshe all the time that people were dying in the Midbar. Because it says in Dvarim, Perek Bet, when the people stopped dying, what does it say? That God started to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu once again. He resumed speaking to him. Eli Hayadibur. Okay, so that was one of the things that happened on Tu B'Av. So Kadosh Baruch Hu started speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu again on Tu B'Av. The parallel to Ba'av is to B'Shvat. What happens there? That Moshe Rabbeinu gives his final speech to Klal Yisrael. It's a direct parallel. The second parallel, on that idea, the Rambam. The Rambam has a beautiful sefer called his Perush on the Mishnah, and he has a very nice introduction which explains a lot of Torah Shebaal Peh on that Mishnah. It's a beautiful thing that it's a must read for everybody. You have to go through the Rambam's introduction to the Mishnayot. It's a very, very famous piece and very, very important for your emunah and for your understanding of how Torah Shebaal Peh works. In any event, this one small paragraph, he writes, Kasher Yigia Sofar Vim Shana Rosh Chodesh Shvat. When the 4 years of the Midbar ended, ceased at Rosh Chodesh Shvat, what happened? Hikilam Alav Shalom. So Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom, he gathered everyone together. V'amar lem hin karu yamai lamut. I'm going to die. Lachen misha shema mimena ezad kabbalah u'shachacha yavo u'nivarena lo. If you had anything that you didn't know in Torah, come and I will explain it to you. This is what Moshe said publicly to all of Am Yisrael. U'mash nistavka lo eze sheila yavo u'nivarena lo. If you had a question that you weren't sure of, come, I will clarify it for you. Amar katuv ho'il Moshe be'er et ha-Torah zot. Moshe began to explain the whole Torah at this time. Not just someone who forgot something, but someone who has a perush can come and be mefaresh during this day. during this time. Uberu mipiva kabbalav namdua pirushim kol oto azman shmei rosh chodesh shvat ad shvi badar. So this was the golden time of Torah learning. The golden time was from Rosh Chodesh Shvat until Zayin Adar. Why did that golden period end at Zayin Adar? Because Moshe died. But during that time, the 40th year of the Midbar, between those days, Rosh Chodesh Shvat and Zayin Adar, anybody who had any questions in anything in Torah, or any chidushim in Torah, it all began right here. This is where it all was. So the golden period of learning Torah. There's a sefer, which everyone should have in their library. No reason why anyone should not have a sefer in their library. The Book of Our Heritage, of Eliyahu Kito, Sefer HaTodah in Hebrew. So I'm just going to read in page 324 on volume 1 in this newer edition. Most parents have the blue edition. So he writes as follows in Shvat. It's right in the beginning of Shvat. There is a pasuk, 33:29. We will open it up. I'm sorry, not that. Anyway. So he says, it is for this reason that later sages said that Rosh Chodesh Shvat is comparable to the sixth of Sivan. I didn't have time to find the source where they say that Rosh Chodesh Shvat is parallel to Shavuos, the day in which the Torah was given to Israel at Sinai. That day remains particularly suitable in every year for accepting the yoke of Torah and mitzvot. Similarly, on the first of Shvat, new wellsprings of Torah opened within the hearts of Israel, for on that day they received the repetition of Torah. All the days between the first of Shvat and the seventh of Adar are therefore particularly suited for renewed inspiration in the study of Torah and fulfillment of the mitzvot. So that is what he says. So this is a very, very special time. It's like a skula that during this time a person should have a renewed vigor, a renewed excitement, a renewed commitment to Torah, to learning Torah, and to Chidushei Torah. Rav Mordechai told me that the Chidushei Arim said something specific about Shabbat. He was so excited when he saw the sign. He came up and he saw it and talked about the Chidushei Arim. No, but tell me what he says. So he said that all chidushim that anyone ever has in a year, it all comes from Shvat. It all comes from Shvat. So I didn't get to see the chidushim room inside, but I'm sure Mordechai will tell us about it sometime. In any event, so that is one answer that the Gemara gives on why Tu B'Av is so important. That's very much parallel to Tu B'Shvat, this idea that Shvat is about renewal in Torah. Shvat is about restarting learning Torah, and the power of Torah reaches its height in terms of Limud Torah and Chidushei Torah in Shvat. That alone makes it certainly the most important month of the year. That, imagine, especially for your year, and you can ask anybody who's been in Israel for the year and in Yeshiva, this is the golden time of Limud Torah. This is the time the weather's outside, it's raining, it's this, it's that, it's cold, and you've depleted most of the money that you have for the year, and therefore you have an opportunity to rush, sit, and learn Torah, and there's nothing like Chodesh Shvat. There's nothing like Chodesh Shvat. Okay. The next answer is that the sun loses its strength during this time. It's said in the name of Rabba and Rav Yosef, Dami Shabbat, Yom Shepaskim Ilchlot Eitzim L'Maracha. They stopped cutting the trees, because the sap would start getting into the wood at this time, because the sun was not as strong anymore from Tu B'Av onwards, and therefore that was the time. Parallel to that, we see in nature that this is the time when the rains have already, most of the rains have fallen, and the process of hibernation ceases, and all of a sudden the tree starts becoming alive again, and starts giving its fruit. So what's fascinating is that the water is what causes the fruits to give its fruit, the tree to give its fruit. And what is the parallel to water in our life? Torah. Ein mayim ela Torah. I've said this before, I think, in my shiur, but I'll say it to you again as well. In this week's Parsha B'Shalach, so we know that Bnei Yisrael asked for water numerous times. So at the very end of the Parsha, before Amalek, right, the very end in Shvi, so it's fascinating. Bnei Israel asked for water. Kadosh Baruch Moshe cries out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem says, "Listen, what I want you to do is I want you to go and hit the rock, and from the rock, water will come out." Where does anyone knows the answer? Don't answer. Where does this occur? Where does this happen? Where does it happen? So it happens that he hits the rock, and I'll read it for you. It happens in Har Sinai. Then Moshe Rabbeinu hits the rock on Har Sinai. Now this is the Har Sinai that they're going to receive the Torah. But they didn't receive the Torah yet. They left Mitzrayim. Kriyat Yam Suf is now behind us. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai, he hits the rock, and the water starts flowing down the mountain. Now, if you're one of those people that was thirsty in the desert for water, and the water is traveling down the mountain, what would you do? You would run towards that raging river of water and quench your thirst. Right? You want that water. Perhaps this is one of the sources for the idea of Ein Mayim Ela Torah. That the same place where the water comes from, that's the place they're going to ultimately receive Torah from. That you must have water to live, and you must have Torah to live. So Sinai, which is the source of all Torah, is also the source of the water that they're going to drink. So that is a very, very beautiful thing. We said that the symbol of Chodesh Shvat is what? It's a dliya, a bucket of water. So the symbol of Shvat is water. The symbol of Shvat really is Torah. And Shvat is all about drawing up the secrets of Torah. Like the Rambam pointed out, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, anyone who has questions, come to me. Anyone who has chidushim, this is the time to be Mechadesh Torah, the time of Shvat. It's an unbelievable thing. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu himself, who is the giver of Torah, right? What is his name? Moshe. Uriel, the Pasuk, please. Why is he called Moshe? Kimin Amayim? Mishitiu, because he was drawn up from the water. Moshe Rabbeinu represents drawing up the waters of Torah, so he himself is water. He himself, his name is water. And that's what Shvat is about, is water. I'll end with a beautiful idea that the Tur in Hilchot Rosh Chodesh mentions that every single month has a Shevet that is parallel to that month. So he doesn't mention which Shevet is parallel to which month. I'm sure there are Svarim out there, maybe Yoni knows Svarim, that tell you exactly which month is which Shevet. But apparently there's a machlokes, what month is parallel, what Shevet is parallel to Shvat. What would you guess are the possibilities? What? Not Zvulun. Not Asher. Levi is one possibility, and Yisachar is the other one. Why would Dafka these two, Yisachar and Levi, be parallel to the Chodesh Shvat? Because they are all about teaching Torah to Am Yisrael. Yisachar is the Chamor Garam, and all the Mepharshim commenting on the brachas that Yaakov gives to Yisachar is about that he has the yoke of Torah on him all the time, like a donkey has his yoke on him all the time. And Levi, Yaru, Mishpatecha, Yaakov. This is all about teaching Torah to Yisrael. This is what Levi's about. Yisachar and Levi. So it's not only for our own personal renewal. Shvat is not only like the tree open all of a sudden comes alive. That all throughout the winter, the potential of the tree was there, but it only starts sprouting now. But also us personally. Our potential was there all along. We constantly are hibernating in the world of Torah, in the world of Mayim. And then all of a sudden, in Tu B'Shvat, everything starts coming out. In the Chodesh Shvat, everything starts coming out. But it's also the attribute of Levi, or the attribute of Yisachar. It's not enough just to learn Torah, and for ourselves, but also to teach it to others. Shvat is the most important month of the year, clearly, because Yisachar and Levi represent what the destiny of the Jewish people is, and that is to teach Torah to the entire world. There's another source of Shvat as well. Next year, Shana Bet, maybe we'll mention what Zechariah has to say about Shvat.